I surely will be singing, like a bird up in the pine, sitting high upon a limb. Whether anybody's listening doesn't mean a thing to him. He's gonna lift his voice just for the joy it brings. There's a song that's in his heart, and he's gonna give it wings. Hard times won't keep me down, I'll lift my spirits up. I'll find another song that's gonna fill my cup. As long as I am living, the music will be ringing. As long as I am breathing, I surely will be singing. As long as I remember, Grandma always hummed a tune, hanging clothes out on the line or sweeping up the living room. Makes the work a little easier, that's what she used to say. Takes your mind up off your troubles and it helps you through the day. Hard times won't keep me down, I'll lift my spirits up. I'll find another song that's gonna fill my cup. As long as I am living, the music will be ringing. As long as I am breathing, I surely will be singing.
Welcome to Wednesday Night at the Esquire, our favorite hour of the week, even in the fall. We hope you grabbed some popcorn, found a comfortable seat, and are ready for good music and a great time together. Tonight, we are continuing our series on big Bible characters by focusing on the shepherd boy David, who grew up to be a powerful king and a man after God's own heart. Moses, Joshua, Joseph, and now David were people just like you and me who had their weaknesses just like you and me, but who answered God's call. And God was faithful to them and used them in big ways. May we grow each week in truth just like they did here at Wednesday Night at the Esquire.
All right, here we go. Sing it with us.
Hard times don't keep me down. Lift my spirits up. I'll find another song that's gonna fill my cup. As long as I am living, the music will be ringing. As long as I am breathing, I surely will be singing. As long as I am breathing, I surely will be singing.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's a pleasure to have you all here tonight. It's good to see all of you here.
Yep.
Here we are, first week of October. Fall has definitely hit the stride. And we've got the cool nights and the cool mornings and the kind of the warm days and lots of fun things happening, such as sweets and treats at the end of the month. So we're going to be collecting candy. If you just want to donate that, we should have buckets up front there. And then not this Friday, but next Friday, we begin Friday Night at the Movies here at the Esquire. Yep. So,
What's the movie?
Well, that's for next week.
Okay. All right. All right.
Because
save something for next week.
It's about a boy named Tyson.
Yeah.
Don't remember.
Yeah. But it'll be great.
But it'll be great. Yeah. Actually, I saw the list, and I honestly don't remember the list because it was 2 days ago, and I've done a lot of things since then.
I think maybe it's Run, Tyson, Run.
Okay.
About a boy who runs a marathon. That's what I think.
Yeah. Okay. Boy who runs a marathon.
Okay.
You can identify.
That's right. That's a good one.
So more info about that. We'll have some stuff to hand out for you guys and whatnot next week. And so, we'll be good to go. So, like I said, fall. Mm-hmm. Tim, what is your favorite sign of fall?
Oh, the color of the trees, I think.
Yes. Paige, do you have a favorite sign of fall?
That and those candy corn pumpkins.
Candy corn pumpkins. Well, I tasked our top-notch Esquire research team, based in Fair Play, to come up with the top five, because it used to be top 10, but we had to make a budget cut.
Yeah.
Top five signs of fall in the Ozarks.
Ooh.
So specifically to the Ozarks. These are the top five signs of fall in the Ozarks. Number five, school teachers have begun counting down the days until Christmas break.
Yes, yes. I like that one.
Number four, sports fans must be careful to coordinate their apparel so that Cardinals red does not clash with Chiefs red.
That's true.
Yes. Number three, earlier sunsets mean you can put the kids to bed before the 6 p.m. news.
Yeah.
Number two, Mike Pitts has to wear a jacket over the top of his Hawaiian shirts. And the number one sign of fall in the Ozarks, Frito-Lay comes out with pumpkin spice Doritos. Ponder that one.
Yuck.
Ponder that one.
Yeah, I like that.
Ponder that one.
I like that.
Because everything's pumpkin spice now.
It is.
You should put some pumpkin spice in this song.
We should.
Hey, this song.
I know. Well, so here's the thing.
Tim, is this going to be a fun song?
This is going to be a fun song. So every once in a while, you know, we have some sort of last-minute absences because of unavoidable conflicts and things. And sometimes that's an issue, but sometimes it just opens up a great opportunity to feature a couple of great banjo and mandolin players over there. We're going to play a classic banjo song. Hit it. Favorites. Well,
I'm not sure that was energetic enough.
Yeah.
No, that was great. I loved it. That was fun.
And last week we looked at Moses, who was very famous, and tonight we're going to look at another very famous person, and his name is David. David is right up there with Moses as far as we just have a lot of information about David. A couple of Sundays ago, Pastor Adam talked about Melchizedek, and so that would be someone who we don't have a lot of information about, Melchizedek, but people like Moses and Abraham and tonight David, there's a lot of information. There's a lot of verses about him. David also appears in history books, paintings, even. He's in some famous paintings. There are statues of him. And he is just a major, big character, not only in Scripture, but also in the history of the world. He was Israel's second king. For the longest time, Israel had a system of leadership, like with judges or prophets who communicated directly with God. But one day, Israel got together, and they said, "We want a king like all the other nations have." Wasn't the best decision they ever made. In fact, their first king wasn't great, and it was a mistake. They picked him for the wrong reason. But their second king was David, and he was their best king. And he had a lot of great moments as king. He won a lot of battles. He made good decisions. He was famous. He brought an era of wealth and really paved the way for the next king, Solomon, to build a lot of important things like the temple. But David also had some setbacks. He made some mistakes. And do you know, I think that's a good lesson right up front that I wanted to make sure I said, and that is when you depend on people, when you look and hold people up too much, eventually, no matter who it is, you'll be disappointed. Maybe you look up to me, and you followed me around 24/7. It wouldn't be very long before I would disappoint you. I mean, we are human, and we are not perfect, and that's why you are safe when you follow Jesus. You are on safe ground. Now, hey, learn from people. There are people I respect. I learn from them. But I don't ever hold them up in the place of where I would to follow Jesus, because there comes a point where we can disappoint each other because we are human. What I want to talk about tonight is there are a lot of places we could go to look at David's character and character that we want to emulate or that we want in my life or your life. But I want to go and look at a setback that David had in his life and how he handled it, because that's important to us, because we have setbacks and we blow it sometimes. One thing I like about the Bible, and one reason actually that gives me faith and confidence in the Bible, is it doesn't sugarcoat its heroes. It tells you the whole picture of someone. You get to know a lot about people like Moses or David or Abraham, because there's a lot of different stories about them. You know, if you today, famous people, the problem with all of our TV and Twitter and Facebook is that today, you know what we do, and it's not right. We judge someone's character based on maybe just one thing they did. Instead of like what the Bible does, takes a whole life and gives you a whole bunch of examples of how they respond to situations, we will judge someone based on maybe one thing they did. I have a list of people in my mind that if I said their name, you would have an opinion of who that person is because of maybe one thing they did that got blasted out to the public. And the more public you are, the more important it is to really watch, you know, really watch what you do, because your entire life will be judged by someone based on maybe just one mistake. It's not right, but how it is. Thankfully, they're not the final judge of us. It's the Lord, and the Lord sees it all. So what I'd like to do is just kind of talk a little bit about what David did, how he handled it, and we'll be done tonight. I think the reason that I want to talk about this one episode in David's life is because, I have setbacks too. There are things in my life, man, I wish I'd never done or I'd never said, places I wish I never went, thoughts I wish I had never thought. And so how do I deal with something? How do I respond when I've absolutely just blown it? Maybe you're here tonight and you have just made a mistake in your life and you don't know how to move on. And maybe it's something that happened years ago or a decade ago. You just don't know how to move on. Maybe you are in the middle of something that you have just made a decision you regret. How in the world do you move on? So this is an important part for me. And I think it is a character builder, how you respond to the times when you know that you've messed up, when you know you've disobeyed what God said, when you know you have disappointed people you love. So how do you deal with those things? It helps your character get built, and you can actually get stronger if you handle it well. I was at a missions conference once, and I've told this story before. I know I told it in the big auditorium. I was at a missions conference once, and this guy was speaking. His name was Manly Beasley, and he held up a lemon, and he said, "I've got a lemon here." And he said, "I'm going to squeeze this lemon, but before I do, who knows what you get when you squeeze a lemon?" Let me ask you, just shout it out. What do you get when you squeeze a lemon? Yep, that's what I said, lemon juice. I was right out in front, too. First one to answer, lemon juice. And he looked at me and smiled, and I thought, I wonder if something's wrong with my answer. And there was something wrong with my answer. I mean, it's probably right. It probably is. But he said, before I give you the answer, I was in Central America one time, and what happened was this criminal took a syringe full of this poison stuff and went to a fruit stand and injected the lemons with this poison. And so the people were eating the lemons and getting sick. And he said, now that doesn't happen often, but my point is when you squeeze a lemon, what do you get when you squeeze a lemon? The answer technically is whatever's on the inside. It's not necessarily lemon. It's probably lemon juice. It probably is. But maybe there's something else in there that someone put in there. So what do you get when you squeeze a lemon? It's whatever is on the inside. So then he took that and applied to us, especially those of us who were getting ready to go on the mission field. That's how you know what's on the inside. It is those moments when you are squeezed, those moments when you aren't comfortable, those moments when you are in situations that you've never faced before. When you're squeezed, what's on the inside, that's whatever comes out. So he put it in terms of our character. Maybe it's something I've never done before, and I've just blown it like David did. When you are squeezed like that, what do you get when you squeeze a lemon? What's on the inside? And that's for us. What do you get when you are squeezed or uncomfortable or in a different place? You get some news you didn't know what to do with, or you're caught up in something. That's when it's important what's on the inside. I thought that was good. So, David, tonight we're going to look at, just for a few minutes, a prayer that he prayed. It's not just any prayer. It's one of the most intimate prayers ever prayed by anyone. David had just really made two terrible decisions, and they included murder and adultery, two sins for which there was no known Old Testament sacrifice. There was something for about everything, but these two, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to go forward, and he gives us I think two big takeaways. When I read Psalm 51, I have two big takeaways on how I handle times in my life when I make a decision that I regret. So I'm going to pray. We'll just have some good takeaways. For me, this is a character-building message because it reminds me of what I need to do when I do something I'm not proud of. Father, we love you. Thank you for preserving special, intimate passages like Psalm 51 from which we can learn. Lord, we want to go stronger. Definitely, will be people here tonight who have something in their past they are not proud of, I pray they would go to Psalm 51 or one of the other great psalms to know how you feel about that, what we need to respond with, and who we are in you. Lord, thank you that you sent Jesus and you gave us a chance to have a relationship with you no matter what we've done. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what I want to do is David is just really hurting inside. I don't know this for sure, but I imagine it's the worst time in his life. Worst time in his life. He had some things personally that happened to him after these two decisions. You can read all about it in 2 Samuel, I think chapter 11 or something like that. And this prayer is a result of his decisions as he is crying out to God for help. So let's read this first part of this great passage, and then we'll have a takeaway. Then we'll read another passage and have a takeaway. Verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. What I want to do is, can you flip back maybe to verse 3? I'll just use that one. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. The first thing that I notice as I read all five of these verses is that David didn't blame other people for what happened. Didn't blame other people. When my tendency, when I mess up, when I make a mistake, when I do something I know I shouldn't, I say something I shouldn't, I go somewhere I shouldn't, I do something or think something, my first tendency is to blame people for what I've done. David didn't do that. He took responsibility, my sin, my transgression, my this, my that, it's me. Against thee, the only, have I sinned. David took responsibility for what he did. You know what I've learned? I'm going to tell you who my greatest enemy is. My greatest, and you think, oh, this is going to be good. Now, if you think of who in your life is your greatest enemy, please don't shout it out. The person may be sitting here. The person who gives you the most trouble, I know who mine is. The person in my life that's caused me the most trouble, got me in more trouble, and it's not Gary. I know you think it is. It's not him. He's close. He's number two, but he's not the main one. No, I'm kidding. It's not any boss I've ever had. It's not a family member. Hey, can I say this? It's not even the devil. The person that gives me the most trouble in my life is not even the devil. Isn't that amazing? You know who? I'll tell you his name. It's Mike Pitts. Mike Pitts. And you know what you're thinking? Hey, that's my biggest enemy. It's Mike Pitts. He causes me more trouble, gets me to do things I don't want to do, keeps me from doing things that I should do. He gives me more trouble than anyone in my life. And when I realized that, I became healthier because I know to watch for myself. I know how I am. I know how I think. I know how I try to deceive myself. My biggest enemy is and always will be until I meet Jesus, will be Mike Pitts. David could have blamed a lot of people. He could have blamed Bathsheba. Could have blamed what Bathsheba was doing. He could have blamed his spiritual leader. He could have blamed a lot of different the people for leaving his window open so we could see Bathsheba. But he didn't. He took responsibility for what happened. Didn't blame other people. So that's important. When you maybe you're struggling with something tonight, and maybe you are blaming other people or holding something in, it's important to admit to yourself and to the Lord, hey, Lord, it was me. I want to be like David in Psalm 51. It's me. It's my shortcoming. It's my mistake, my sin. I'm the one who caused this. Now, please help me. And that is a healthy position to be in. It is a point where you can start to grow and even get stronger through the situation instead of letting that situation hold you back. Usually when something is wrong, we blame a lot of things before we get around to ourselves. We blame our situation, our spiritual leader, our spouse, the devil, or God. But it is very healthy when we accept personal responsibility for something in our past. Okay, second thing. Let's jump down to verse 12. Hey, we're almost done. Let me just say one other thing. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." So my first takeaway when I read this, I have two big takeaways. One is, hey, Mike, don't blame the deal on other people. Take responsibility for what happened. When you go to the Lord and pray and ask for your relationship to be strong again, go to him and take responsibility. And two is when I understand that my relationship with the Lord affects other people. Other people. It's not just God and me. Now, it is God and me. And my relationship with the Lord is important. But it's not just about God and me. Other people matter when it comes to God and me having our relationship. David said, you know what, Lord, when we get this right, when our relationship is strong again, I'm going to teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted unto you. David knew that other people's relationship with God depended on his relationship with God. He goes to God and says, Lord, we need to fix this. Other people are going to be affected by what happens between us. Do you know, your relationship with God just isn't about you and God. Other people are watching. They look to you for leadership on how it's going, how you are going through a problem. Maybe they've known you have blown it, and they want to see if you check out or you hang in there. I got a good text. Ray Rochelow sends me good texts. I just heard him cough. He's afraid of what I'm going to say. At 5:44, he sends me this. Usually he tells me, hey, I've got your microphone in the back room. But he gave me a special text tonight. At 5:44, he said, you are often unaware of the effect you have on others. I thought that was really sweet. I thought to myself, that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. And Ray sent me a text of the effect that I have on others. So I get here, I said, Ray, that is so sweet. What Bible verse is that? He said, no, I got it out of one of Gary's fortune cookies. Yeah, I got it out of one of Gary's fortune cookies. Hey, it's still pretty good, amen? I mean, it's true. I'm sure they got it from some Bible verse. But your relationship with God, please understand, it matters. It matters to you, but it also matters to other people in your life. Let's say, just for a moment, I just kind of want to check out for a while. I want to take a break from my relationship with God. I just want to just kind of take a break. I don't want to pray for a while. It's just too much work. I don't want to sing songs to myself for a while. I don't want to speak at the Esquire. I don't want to go to church. I just want a break. I don't want to read my Bible. Hey, that would be bad for me. That would affect me. I would not live the same. It would affect me emotionally and spiritually, probably physically, relationships. So it would be bad for me if I did that. I don't want to do that. But if I did, if I just said, hey, I want to take a break for a while, that would be bad for me. But you know what else? That would be bad for other people in my life. Other people in my life depend on me being as close to God as I can be. Sometimes I have good days, sometimes I have bad days. But if I just took a hard break and just didn't really want to communicate with God for a while, it would be bad for me, but it would be tough for other people in my life who, for whatever reason, depend on me. So it affects other people. I want you to know tonight, maybe you're here and you just want to give up on God. Please know that it's not just about you and God. Other people depend on you relating to God well. They look to you. They look to you. Some people look to you as just sort of an anchor or rock in tough situations. So remember that. David knew that. He said, Lord, in verse 12 and 13, he said, I want to make this right because other people are going to be affected. Even, he said, there are eternities going to be affected. Well, tonight as we close, I just kind of want you to think about your big thing in your life that you wish you never did or said, or maybe somewhere you went or something. I want you to think about that. And I want you to maybe in your free time at home, just read Psalm 51 and think about that. And God will give you a release. And do two things. One, take responsibility. Maybe you've blamed that on someone for years. Take responsibility. Take ownership of that and turn it to the Lord and realize that other people need you to be close to God and go past that. And that, I've seen it happen. That thing in your life that you regret, instead of that something that holds you back or keeps you down, that can actually be a point of strength where God was able to show his strength through our weakness. He will do that for you, okay? There's nothing you can do or Jesus won't love you or he wants to have a relationship with you. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, whatever you've thought. God loves you, and he sent his son to die for you, and he wants a relationship with you. Nothing we've done is going to surprise God. If you go to God and pray a Psalm 51 prayer, he will welcome you with open arms, and he would want to hear that. It would be a sweet thing to him. Father, we love you. Thank you for this prayer of David. Thank you for the life of David and all of the great things he did, but also the weaknesses that you've shown. Because, Lord, we have weaknesses. We are human. But you have given us a way, Jesus Christ, that we can come to you with anything we are, everything we've done, and you will accept us, not based on anything we've done, but what your Son has done. Thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name we ask this. Amen. Okay, we'll do another one next week. I'm enjoying this. We'll see you at the Esquire.